South Africa.
Shout out to Carl Word. Shout out to Carl Word.
Todd, how's it going? It's so great to connect with you, man.
Yeah, likewise.
I know we've been meaning to make this happen for a while, and there were a couple of, I caught you now at the moment just before another massive round of live shows. How was the US?
Well, it was brilliant, yeah. It was just so, such a good feeling to be on the stage and, you know, being in the same room as people and, you know, performing and seeing people smiling and dancing, getting involved, you know. It was, and obviously, yeah, like playing the new album, the new songs, seeing that people sort of latched onto it and kind of like, you know the lyrics and, you know, like, yeah, they are connecting. So it's always like to get that sort of, that's when you realize why you do it, you know. That's when it all kind of come full circle and it all makes sense.
It's finally to be around people again and in the same room with people so that you can actually interact, you know. I mean, it must have been quite difficult, you know, being able to put this album together without actually properly road testing it, right?
Yeah, I mean it has kind of been like that on the last few albums anyway, because we don't really like play songs before they come out, kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
So I feel like that's always been the case where it'd be like, oh, how is this going to like go down? but yeah, I guess even more so now, because we obviously like, we never, when we started rehearsing the songs, it was the first time we played them live as well, because like we weren't actually in the same room when we recorded the album. So it was kind of like fragments, you know, like every guitars was done in LA. Murph never made it over to Europe when we recorded the album and stuff. So, you know, it was one of those records where it was all done over Zoom. And
yeah, I was gonna ask how were the real frustrations putting together the album all remotely? Jeez.
It was a logistical sort of I wouldn't call it a nightmare, it was definitely an interesting one. I made it over to London for, you know, a big chunk of the recording, but I also recorded loads here in Oslo where I am now. I guess it was mainly the producer that was kind of left with the struggle, or kind of like trying to like pick the pieces and together, because we kind of like all recorded stuff and maybe ended up recording way more than what was needed. And then kind of like, you know, he will then sort of filter, or like we worked with a few different producers, but they all had to sort of like filter out what was like useful for them and then kind of like put it all together.
Yeah, no, it's like putting together a shopping basket.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. It worked out in the end. It took some time, but you know, like to get a mixing done and stuff. But it was, you know, it's good, just good to know that we can do it that way. You know, that we got these set of tools now that allow us to actually make music together without having to travel.
You know, speaking of the album, congratulations on it is absolutely phenomenal. You know, when I reached out to you guys, management were like, oh really, from South Africa, are we gonna make this happen? And I'm so glad we managed to do so. I must be honest, prior to this album, one of my favorite records is Cheetah Tongue, and it's really been one of my favorites, so I just have to bring that up before we dive into
it. That was probably my favorite of that album as well, or definitely up there. Like,
so I wanted to ask you, you know, I mean, and I know before we get into the actual relation between this title and the record, you know, people don't change, time does. How did that record come together? I absolutely love the bass line on that.
Oh yeah, that was actually half of the record was kind of done before the pandemic sort of hit. This was actually just weeks before kind of we went into a lockdown, but we managed to go to LA to work in a studio with Murph, and we've kind of been going on trips, you know, to write together or whatever. And we've been working in Murph's studio, which is kind of like a smaller sort of setup with our, you know, programming all the drums and stuff. And this first time we sort of were in a proper studio, we're like, okay, let's just rent a studio, set up a drum kit, you know, bass amp, guitar, some keyboards, and do it kind of old school style where we're like, okay, let's start playing and jamming, you know, like, so it was one of those songs where it's kind of like, we just started like playing something, you know, just jamming this. And we were recording everything, we were jamming, and it was like, okay. And then it's like, that kind of like riff kind of came up. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. And, you know, kind of like worked from that and then sort of like created the whole track. But it was all like a long jam, basically. So it was kind of different to a lot of the other songs on the album in that sense. But I love that way of working, you know. And it's basically the opposite to what we've been, you know, talking about before, like how like most of the record was like done on Zoom, not being in the same room and how it's possible. But that was a very like good example on what being in the same room can do as well.
That
energy you get when you're together and you come up with something that everyone's sort of like getting excited about, and you kind of like, it's just so cool. That's probably my favorite way of making music, I suppose. And you start like just like, okay, we have no idea where this is heading, but you know, at the end of the day, then like you have a you know, more or less ready to go song. So
I mean, I know we've touched on the remote working, but I mean, with regards to putting together the records that you did you have like a set, like a goal that you wanted to put together? I mean, because you couldn't jam and just be together in studio, did everybody have to be aligned with a certain idea and then do their part and keep it quite structured versus that record?
Yeah, when we recorded it, for sure, like it was very like, let's stick to the plan. There's no real plan to kind of like go completely off the rails and completely change things around, which we have done in the past. You know, like there was this, you know, we had this song called Isabel on the third record, which was like called Vegas Girls originally, and it was more of a kind of ballady, guitar-y kind of thing. And then we changed it to be Isabel. Then the lyrics sort of changed. Then it was another version that sounded like a Broken Bells kind of sounding.
Yeah,
like which sounded cool, but then like, oh, but it's a bit off with this. And then we ended up going down the complete, like, you know, vocoder-y kind of sounding vocals. Almost Imogen Heap kind of like sounding. Like completely different. It was basically three completely different versions of the same song. And that's sort of thing that you can't really do when you're like, when you are on Zoom or when you are working from different studios. You can't really completely like redo or remake a song to that extent. But obviously, like, what I did like about like sitting on my own a bit as well was to actually, you know, if I had like an idea that like, you know, maybe it was a bit out there or whatever, but it's also like this kind of like, it could be genius, but a lot of the time people are like, oh, I'm not sure about like what you mean, or, and then you kind of have to like, you got this 5 to 10 minutes kind of like gap to kind of like, you know, prove that idea is good. You can spend 3 hours on the same. Perfected. It's like, this is what I mean.
You got to take that moment and stop everybody and go like, right, just pause, cancel your plans. You've got to hear this. Get online, wait, together. Let's hear it.
When you're in the same room, you can't do that. So, which I did like by, you know, being, it was only a few moments where I was like, oh yeah, I want to like, you know, geek out on a particular sound or whatever. And it allows you to do that when you're sat by yourself. Also, I suppose. So that was a positive, I suppose. Yeah.
And you know, now that the album, and it's great that you're so willing to chat about it, and it's great that we get to connect about this album now that it's had some time to breathe, and you know, how do you take it in now, you know, especially with the album just being released, you're on tour, and you know, to see people resonate with the new records as well as some of the earlier records, I mean, it must be a pretty surreal feeling. It, like, the minute the new records are out, people are already resonating with it emotionally throughout all your performances, no matter where you are across the world.
Now it's like it's out in the world now. It's not our record anymore. It's everyone's record, you know. It's always something really like, it's quite scary sometimes. Well, not scary, but a bit like, you know, kind of like you always have this feeling. You kind of like obviously believe in what you've done and you think it's really good or whatever. But it's always that sort of like, oh, anticipation on how is like, especially the fans going to react. I mean, reviews and stuff, I'm not like that. I mean, I'll say it doesn't matter that much, but it, and of course it does. If you get a good review, you know, like it's like, oh yeah, it can give you that sort of confidence and like, oh, at least like, you know, give you that sort of confirmation that, oh yeah, it is quite good, you know, like, and give that sort of self-belief, I suppose. But yeah, that is, especially when you're in a venue, and that's when you sort of realize how important it is, and also like whether a song works well live or whether it doesn't work well. But some of not every single song does work as well live as it does in the studio. So
yeah,
that's always interesting as well, like which songs pans out to be like, oh, you know, live favorites or whatever.
I always like to ask, and like we said, the album is no longer yours, it's everybody else's, it's their record. What is the process for you? I mean, how does it feel when you have, and I'm sure, you know, putting the record together, there must have been tracks that were definitely yes, maybes, no's, and then it switched around. How was that process, making that decision of like, okay, this is on, this isn't, and we absolutely have to have this? Because a lot of the time when I've spoken to artists in the past, they are records that sometimes they necessarily don't want to put on the album, which actually end up sometimes being the most successful.
Yeah, that was, I guess that's sort of similar. We did write maybe like something like 24 songs maybe for it. So obviously the record has 11 songs, so
yeah,
and with the interlude 12 songs. So it's always like difficult because everyone has their own favorites, and you kind of like, yeah, there was loads of emails about it, you know, like, I love this song, someone else loved that song, and obviously, but it's just trying to, you know, make them all work together as well. So it's not always that it's like everyone's favorite songs that make it onto the record, for sure. And obviously there is label, the label has to say, the management can advise, you know, like there's always, I think we always find it like, I'm not that necessarily that we want to listen to to external kind of like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how do you fit that into it?
but it does sort of sometimes help making the decision, because between the three of us, we could disagree as well. So obviously, like, you know, if the label said, but we really believe you should go with this song, then we will do that, you know, unless all three of us like, no. But, you know, it's interesting that where you say there, like how like someone's, you know, like songs they didn't really believe in or didn't think it was going to make the album. They're the only reason I'm thinking about, like thinking about Ed Sheeran now, because just the court case going on and stuff, but how Shape of You wasn't really like supposed to be on the album, or he didn't see that being on the album, and how it was the A&R or the label that was and management that kind of like, you know, this needs to be the first single or whatever.
Sometimes they can be right.
Sometimes like the most impact in the world, and it's like, okay. Sometimes it's worth listening to people.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's
especially in 2022, I mean, there's so many artists are going independent. And not too long ago, I spoke with Moby, and he had the same. He had conversation about Porcelain was never going to make it onto the album,
right?
And it eventually did and became one of the biggest hits. So, you know, it's always a tricky relationship with who you work with. And I mean, you have a very strong team. You have a really good relationship with your label and everybody that you work with. How did that relationship come about for you to actually be very comfortable, willing, and open with who you work with?
I guess it hasn't always been that way. I have to make that clear, because we kind of like, we've been through like, you know, the sort of, we started with an indie label, then it kind of like our second and third album was on Warner's. That was a completely different experience, because obviously like then you're a part of a much bigger team. Maybe people that aren't necessarily fighting your corner in the same way. But now, once again, we're kind of like back to the indie way of dealing. But now we actually record and own the recording ourselves, and then we sort of distribute to AWOL, which is, that's the first time we do that. So we saw they couldn't really be more independent than that now. But having that sort of like, you know, owning the record, I feel like we got like obviously this chance to choose who we want to work with. But we did Beautiful People Will Ruin Your Life, the last album, with AWOL as well. And that went really well, and we really liked the team. and the people, as you say, like, you know, it's, you know, like, I guess, like, from the Warner days, it was a lot of confrontation. You had to really fight for, like, decisions, you know, creative decisions a lot of the time, you know, it felt like there was always, like, head-to-head, which is not the case anymore. So, I don't know, like, it's just... because it's our decision now to be, with that team, and because we own the master and we own the record, we don't have to, like, you know, argue about, like,
yeah,
you know, if you want the banjo on this track or or like on this track or if you want to, like, not have that, you know, it's complex, isn't it? There's it kind of, like, changes when you're a band that has some sort of success, and straight away it's kind of like so many people that want to have an opinion about
you.
But I guess, like, once you're like, you know, we're on album 5, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. And then it's kind of like, it feels like you kind of see in the back end of that, and then you kind of get, you regain that sort of confidence that you maybe had before you got signed. Yeah, but we've done this for so long, you know, like, it has worked in the past. You kind of got this, like, all this ammo to kind of, like, come back and kind of, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, kind of, exactly. Yeah.
So, no, but it's interesting. I don't really overly think about it. I feel like that's just our setup now, you know.
Yeah, and it must be super re-energizing now, especially, you know, after this 2-year disaster of everybody being locked up, energizing to be on tour like you have been, and like with the shows that you've got coming up. I mean, it's a phenomenal list. You guys must have a seriously well-planned structure to actually rest in between those dates that I had a look at. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's you know, we were just happy to be back out there and, you know, be able to tour again. And next week we are going to South America for the first time. Which I'm really excited about. Well, we haven't been to Brazil, but I've never been to Chile or Argentina as well. So that's going to be a first. Obviously, never been to South Africa.
I was just going to say, we got to change that so that could be a first as well.
I would love to, you know. We had some chances to go there in the past, but it hasn't really worked out within, you know, our schedule or whatever.
Yeah.
But I really hope that we get a chance to do it in the future.